Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Testing. All right.
I don't have a condom for my mic.
Oh, where? I thought I put it on there.
No.
You're gonna pop your peas.
Pop that pee. Pop it.
I don't know where yours is. Oh no, it's on the ground. It fell. By your feet.
By your disgusting toenails.
Perfectly popping my poppins of peas. Putting it on like a penis.
Putting on the Ritz. Ritz.
Never liked that movie.
You have some weird hatred for Young Frankenstein for some odd reason. But you do love
don't like Young Frankenstein.
The taco version of putting on the Ritz.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Who doesn't? I mean, come on.
It's taco.
Yeah, it's taco. You can't mess.
What is that?
Oh, it's just a tarot deck.
Am I gonna get a reading?
No. They're just playing cards.
Well, it'd be great if you went to a tarot reading, and like as the person's laying out your card, you just start pulling out magic cards and laying them down in front of them.
I cast Savannah Lions.
Tap your mana.
Yeah. You're like, I play a Plains and cast Savannah Lions.
Just to screw with them. That would be interesting. All right, so it's been like 4 weeks since we last recorded, because I had the worst weekend ever that weekend that we did not record. So you didn't notice. You just show up, or
that's what I said on the page. I was like, I don't pay attention to that. Either you or Pat, you and Pat show up to my house and record. If you don't do that, we don't record.
Well, I said in the last podcast, I said we're not gonna record because I had a crazy weekend and we had the Games Plus auction. I had a terrible wedding. Wait, I gotta go over this wedding for you because you'll appreciate how awful this wedding was.
I mean, all weddings are by default awful. So like we're going.
No, I've been to like some great weddings. Not many, but I've been to some great ones. It's for me, it's all about the food. Like if I get like a great meal and it's an open bar, I don't mind. But if it's like what I went to, this is my wife's cousin and who cannot afford to have a wedding, which is fine. People can afford not to have a wedding.
Did they kickstart their wedding?
It was kind of like that. So they invite us down to Danville, Illinois. If you case those who don't know what Danville in Illinois is, think The Walking Dead.
It's okay? Called Danville. That's
exactly.
Like, it's kind of self-explanatory.
So we drive down there. It's a 3-hour drive to get down there to begin with, okay? And it's threatening to, like, fucking monsoon all day. So we get to, and they're having
a monsoon in your lagoon.
Yeah. And they were having an outside wedding, like, you know, at a gazebo. So we're like, fine, okay, whatever.
Nice.
It's in a park. Or like a state park or whatever those things are, like a preserve. We get there and they say, oh, it's threatening to rain, so we're going to do it inside this little chapel that's on the property. We go to the chapel. The chapel is filled with wasps.
Awesome.
Filled with wasps.
That sounds
like,
awesome.
Everywhere. Like, this is something out of, like, The Exorcist. like God is angry at us today. And, you know, I'm nervous. My wife can't see shit, so she can't see the wasps all over the place. Unless it was a wasp in front of her, she would be, like, freaking out. But I see them everywhere, and I'm like, this is not good. It's not like I'm afraid of getting stung. It's just, like, I just don't like to be around 1,000 wasps.
I mean, I don't want to get stung by wasps.
Yeah.
Like, I would leave.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm the guy who likes to have the big beard of bees, though that would be pretty great.
Yeah, beard of bees is okay, and that bees aren't wasps.
No.
There's a big difference.
There's a big difference. So, anyway, as in the middle of the ceremony only lasts 10 minutes because it's a non-Catholic wedding, so, you know, it's not legal in the eyes of God.
There's not the hour and 45 minutes talk of shame.
Yeah, no, that's what
I'm
saying.
You are going to have sex. Even though you're married, you should still be ashamed.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. But it's not Catholic, so it's not legal in the eyes of God.
Ah, I see.
Yes. So they have this wedding, 10 minutes, and it 5 minutes into this 10-minute wedding, it starts pouring.
The only god now is Sutter Kane.
Yeah, pretty much. it starts pouring like sheets of rain. So the wedding ends, and we're sitting there, and they're like, oh, we'll just wait for the rain to end. 5 minutes later, rain's still going. I'm like, this isn't going to end. So I just take off into this monsoon weather because I can't handle being in the church anymore and go get the car. So I'm soaking wet, right? And I go get the umbrella and everything, and I bring my wife and the kids out to the car. And I say, we'll just wait in the car for the rain to end. 30 minutes of sitting in the car, the rain finally ends, and we can go into the barn for the reception. The food was barbecue chicken served buffet style.
Why would you need a buffet for barbecue chicken?
I don't fucking know, Steve. And it had like the food was terrible, and it was not. There was no bar. They had a table. They had like wine, bottles of wine. That was about it. And so, like Miller Lite. So it was just like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is the worst wedding ever. And then they played Go Cubs Go during the wedding ceremony and during like the dancing. And I'm just like really? Like your life has to be defined by the fact that you play a song to like advertise that you like the Cubs. Now, granted, I'm not a Cubs fan in general, but it's like. You don't see me sitting there like going like, we need a White Sox song to play at my wedding. No, I don't give two shits enough for that. Anyway, we're there for 5 hours.
That sounds really classy.
Oh my God, it was the worst wedding ever. Luckily, the next day was the Games Plus auction where I got some great deals, but I got hosed on my own stuff. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, nice. I made not very much.
All my stuff sold for a sufficient amount. It was the dregs of my... It's because I took my stuff to Grognard.
Yeah.
And they bought most of it. And then I left... I had, like, the dregs, the remaining, and I just brought that to the Games Plus auction, and I made a quick 300. So.
Oh, that's nice. I only made, like, 125, so yeah. It was not a lot. But I didn't put a ton in, so...
Quick 300, and I bought a custom GM... customizable GM screen, and then pestilence stuff.
Because you know, of course, you need more pestilence. Oh no, that's the Skaven yeah, stuff.
These are Skaven boys.
So you're not gonna do this. So you're not gonna go Beastman. You're gonna go Skaven boys.
I have store credit, so I think the Skaven boys will be done with like minimal spending of store credit because pestilence are such a cheap army. Somehow, like they're a gigantic army with over 120 models, but they're cheap as fuck.
Yeah, and plus pestilence are like really easy to find online. It's not like
and I'm buying with store credit anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah. Money.
Yeah, because I got the pestilence the Vermin Lord.
Oh yeah.
The Vermin Lord Corruptor. And then the start collecting box. And then I need to get one more start collecting box and then four boxes of plague monks and I'm done.
Yeah.
It's
4 boxes of 20 plague monks.
Yeah. It's just like, well, that's it. You're done. You have everything you need. That's 2,000 points. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you decided you're not doing the plague claw then. The cat bolt.
Oh yeah, I'm doing two.
Okay,
I'm doing two of them.
Are they in the start collecting box?
They are.
Oh, okay.
The start collecting box has 20 plague monks, a plague claw, and a plague sensor. The plague furnace.
Oh really? I thought it has both of those in there.
Yeah,
interesting. I only thought it was one.
No, it has both. It's quite the bargain. Quite
the bargain. Well, interesting. Yeah, the
best part of waking up is Ratman in your cup.
Go back to, you know, 4 weeks worth of news. Yeah, the Beastmen came out and they...
What about Stephen Broussard, the president of Gamma, getting censured for his assault at at
we already talked
Gen
about
Con.
That, though.
No. We talked about the assault. We didn't talk about the fact that he got censured by the Gamma board and he got removed.
Wow.
He was removed. And then the quartering guy, he got punched and banned.
He did. And then he was so angry. It was so funny. And like, I'm like, don't put your stock in it. Just the people. It's like, don't
the
put
the sound is me slurping his tears.
Like, don't put stock in like your internet heroes because they're awful people, terrible people. We need Steve, not great role models.
I'm a great role model. You, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're like when it comes to gaming, maybe you could listen to us a little bit. You know, we have a shred more bona fide than most people. Okay, just a shred.
Not, like, I got cachet, baby.
Yeah, like we got like a pubes worth of cachet. Okay, that's about as much.
It's a beautiful
as we...
name for a boy or girl.
Cachet.
It's cachet.
Yeah, but you know what? When it comes to anything else, you don't have to listen to us. We have like no authority whatsoever.
Nobody has any authority.
No. I mean, some people might have a little bit more authority when it comes to talking about certain things, like. I don't know, politics or religion. I mean, a person who has a poli sci degree probably has a little bit more cachet talking about politics than, let's say, me or you.
I think everyone has the same exact amount of cachet talking about religion. But
like if I'm talking to like a guy who has like a religious studies degree who's read the multiple Bible or whatever, blah blah blah, like. He probably has more cachet when it comes to at least, you know...
I can make up as much crap as he can.
I know, but he can at least cite passages in the Bible.
So?
I can also cite made-up fantasy. I can cite Lord of the Rings.
But, okay. I know, I understand that. But I'm saying, like, he would be like, well, you know, in the...
Deuteronomy.
In Deuteronomy 16:4, I'll be like, oh, that's nice that it says that. I don't have to believe it, but I know at least you could cite it.
Broadsowed.
Yeah. And I'd be like, well, what about Leviticus... 6:30. He's like, the dog went forth to Gethsemane. We're like, what?
Well, what about Ty's anal invasion?
What about Austin 316?
Woo! I don't know why I did Ric Flair
for some other reason. anyway, but yeah, the quartering guy got banned as well, which is good.
He got punched so hard it resulted in a permanent Gen Con ban.
But the other guy got banned too, I think.
The other guy was also banned.
Yeah. So it was fair all around.
Everyone was banned.
Everyone's banned. Just banned everyone.
We're all banned.
Which is, speaking of, Indy just announced that they're extending Gen Con to 2023. Indianapolis said they're putting in two new gigantic hotels to help accommodate.
Hey, I'm still firmly on my boycott until it's out of the state of Indiana.
You're firmly on your boycott because you don't want to spend money on going to Gen Con.
It's also in the state of Indiana. Yeah. So,
and
like,
you don't want to spend money on going to Gen
Con. It's win-win.
Yeah, I understand, but I still want our listeners to think that you're doing this out of some like pure... noble.
Oh, just principle? No. But there is a little bit of principle involved.
I would say this
a bit, because I do really hate Indiana.
It's about as much cachet as you do principle.
Yeah, I really hate Indiana, and I don't go to things that support the Indiana economy.
I would quite literally, if I could, take a plane from Chicago to Indianapolis so I don't have to drive through Indiana.
That's what I was saying. If I go to Gen Con, I'm going to do that.
You're going to take a private plane?
If I would go, I would take a small charter and just, like, fly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
But
it would probably end up costing about as much as driving out there.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Driving doesn't cost anything. It costs, like, a tank of gas, which is, like, $20.
Gasoline.
What are you gonna take, like Pee Wee's scooter?
Yeah.
Francis.
I don't know. Steve just got up. He's done. He's done with the cast already. Yeah, but they're building two gigantic new hotels in downtown Indy, which is, I guess, great for the one weekend out of the year that they have Gen Con, because I don't think anything else will probably take the place of that. They would fill those hotels any other way.
Also, very importantly, like, I have nothing to do. Like, what would I do at Gen Con? Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, really. We've talked, and I love going to Gen Con just for, like, events and doing stuff. I mean, I wouldn't go for a tournament, but if you just want to go for, like, big events and
What I want out of convention is Adepticon.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of fucking tournaments. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and Gen Con is 5 minutes from your house, so.
Adepticon.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Adepticon is 5 minutes from your house. Yeah. So,
it's also the only convention that I know of that's actually structured like that. That's just fucking tournaments.
Well, I mean, there's other ones like Nova and...
But Nova isn't Nova just one big tournament?
I think there's multiple little tournaments at Nova.
Okay.
There's a bunch of like those smaller
ones. I didn't think Nova
ones.
Was like a con. Yeah. Because Adepticon also has like booths and...
Well, yeah, okay, Nova doesn't, well, I'm sure that they do, but, you know. Well,
that's what I mean, like Adepticon is a convention, like, I can do convention stuff, miniature-related convention stuff, and then also play in a bunch of back-to-back tournaments.
Yeah. I mean,
and the Gen Con tournaments for minis are always, like, really poorly attended. Like, they're really small. Like, their Grand Clash had, like, 30 players.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, that's insane. As I say, you don't, if you're spending the time to get down to Indianapolis... I don't want to spend my entire day playing in one tournament.
Right, you want
to
do other things. Like
I
want to
do other things. That's why I like the events, the games that they have there.
And do puzzles.
And puzzles.
Yeah, puzzles. I want to do puzzles.
Yeah.
I love puzzles.
Apparently one of the hotels that they're building is going to have a ballroom that's like twice the size of the Pathfinder room, which is like the biggest room in
a big ballroom.
Yeah. So that sounds
don't
like
they
it could
like
be
play in the stadium too or some shit?
Yeah, they do in the stadium and underneath the stadium. It's like it's literally taken over the entire city at this point. So, I mean, there's so much to do, so much to see.
So much to do. What's wrong with taking the back streets? You never know if you don't go. You never shine if you don't glow. Hey, now you're an all-star. Get your game on.
Get out of me, swamp.
It's my swamp. You see, Gen Con is like an onion.
It smells really bad.
It's got different layers of stink.
It'll make you cry if you get too close.
It's true. Your eyes will just be fucking gushing.
You want to talk about Night Vault? Night Vault!
Yeah, the eyes of the Nine and the Goblins.
Yeah, those got released. Zarbag's Gits and the Eyes of the Nine.
They're in my hands right now.
And also the pack, the
Echoes.
Echoes of the Pack, which is technically just the cards that will get added in with the two.
It is new cards.
Yeah, they are new cards, but they're added to the pack with the Steelhearts and the Garrick's Reavers.
Right, because they got rid of the starter, because all of the core starter cards are in the new starter.
Yeah.
So in case you aren't into Shadespire yet, or haven't, you know, you didn't get it in the season one, you would start with the Night Vault core set and then just buy Garrick's Reavers and Steelheart's Champions.
Yeah.
And so they gave you extra cards in there, and you would not buy the Echoes of the Past card pack.
Yeah. And the Echoes, it's a really good card pack.
It's really good. It's the opposite of Leaders. Leaders was like two, maybe three cards that mattered, and everything else was garbage.
Doing my research on it. There's a consensus is there's like six cards that are worth buying that pack for.
Watch Echoes or Leaders?
For Leaders.
That's about right.
There's six cards in there that are like...
They're good.
Like, you need these six cards.
They're good. Like, the Master Tactician, where you can discard objectives at the start of the round, is really good. The Destiny to Meet for just your leader is really good. There's the one that you can push a model that's not your leader or put a model on guard for a ploy. That's also very good because it lets you score... change of tactics fucking immediately, because change of tactics is if a model on guard charges, you get a glory. So you play that ploy on a dude, give him a guard token, and then charge and get yourself an immediate score. Very good. Very strong. But other than that, it's mostly
very strong.
Really shitty. It's like huge. You if you kill your enemy leader with your leader, you can score this objective for one glory. It's like, wow. What a fucking card.
Stupid. The consensus on Eyes of the Nine is people are liking Eyes of the Nine, having problems with Zargabs, the Gits, the Gobos. No one's really kind of figured out a good play tactic for them yet.
I think the Goblins is still, you put the Fanatic in the front, you put the Squig Handler in the front, and then you spend your first four turns just jamming the Fanatic. Like... all four of your actions are just him spinning around.
Just spinning.
Just fucking spinning. And actually, because you get to see your cards before you deploy, if you have Hidden Paths in your hand, you put the Fanatic on a corner, and then you give them the first action, and then at the end of their first action, you use Hidden Paths, put your Fanatic on their back line, and then just fucking spin around in the back of their warband. You spend all your actions just spinning around.
Spinning.
I think that's how you use the Goblins.
Hey, there you go.
Because he is, that dude is, the Fanatic is hard as fuck to kill, because he's got three dodge, and he doesn't have a movement, so you can freely give him like Deathly Fortitude, which is -2 move and +2 wounds. You can also give him Acrobatics, so he has 4 dodge dice, or you can give him the Ethereal Shield or the Ephemeral Shield, which turns his dodge dice into shield.
What about the
dice?
Effeminate Shield?
That's not a card yet at this time. maybe when the Sleash Warband comes out.
Did we talk about the fact that they're gonna do a Sleash release soon?
Yeah.
I don't remember if we talked about that.
I don't know if we talked about it, but
with the sex kangaroos,
the sex kangaroo.
Yeah,
I'd fuck it.
That model looks stupid.
I'd fuck it.
Oh. I don't know. I just don't. Why all of a sudden is Slaanesh all about crabs and fish?
Slaanesh has always been about crabs.
Well,
it used to be bulls and crabs, and then they kind of pushed bulls over for corn. But like the Slaanesh aesthetic used to be like a minotaur with crab claws.
Yeah.
That was the old Slaanesh aesthetic. And then all the demonettes then it became like had crab claws.
Then it became kind of goatish, which I was okay with, because I'm like, all
they still
right,
kind of kept the claws. They did kind of like they made it more like a mantis claw.
Yeah.
But now it's back to the crab claw.
Which
I like.
Crab people.
Crab people, they've got titties too.
it's like, let's give 6 titties and crab claws. All right,
I'm in. I'm sold.
I want to go back to the goat heads is what I want. I want some like...
hopefully they do some goat heads so you can do your vivitch.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I would like to...
You want
to
live deliciously.
I want to live deliciously. I was actually thinking that because I have my Beastmen army. And I kind of want to do just a traditional Beastmen thing with it, but I'm like, man, I could do some Slaangors.
It'd be cool.
And do
BDSM.
I was like,
are you gonna? You will use sculpt leather harnesses for your guys?
No, what I was thinking. Well, they already have kind of leather harnesses a little
bit.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know what
I kind of wanted to do goat eyes on them, though. Like the yellow with like the weird pupil.
Yeah.
What is that called? A rectangular pupil?
Yeah, the weird ass iris.
Like, what's that third grade? What's that kindergarten word I can't think of?
Goats.
Rectangle. Yeah, get some goats.
Rectangle. It's a rectangle.
And have them led by Black Phillip.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, dude, make your Bray Herd leader, though, or Bray Shaman, Black Phillip.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, do it. And then one of your banners should just say "Live Deliciously."
If you have
the wherewithal, you could do it in Chaos Runes. So it just says "Live Deliciously" in Chaos Runes, which would be pretty cool.
That's too much effort, though.
It's just one banner. One banner.
No banners.
Live deliciously.
Live deliciously. As Steve is drinking out of his Dunkin' Donuts cup, it's like he's a commercial right there.
That's right.
What were we talking about?
Please sponsor me, Dunkin' Donuts.
We were talking about something about before the slang thing. Oh, we were talking about
spinning. Night Goblin spinning.
Spinning.
Always twirling towards freedom.
Twirling. Miniature American flags for everyone. But yeah, people are liking Eyes of the Nine. So what I hear and what the consensus seems to be online is that people like playing them. There's really only like one or two ways to play them. And yeah,
I don't think they're very strong after playing against them.
My
gripe with them is like they seem to have the same kind of problems that the skeletons do for me. Is like they want to do a lot of shit, but they just don't have the actions for it. Like you don't have enough actions to do all the stuff they want to do.
Yeah, apparently it's like there's two ways that you could play them. If you don't play them in those two ways, you're going to fail horrendously.
Spells are bad, too. Like, thus far, like, I have not found a very compelling reason to use spells. Like, they're sketchy. Like, the best things I found about them is, like, they ancillarily hose random cards. Like, you can't use Duel of Wits, because Duel of Wits is... Right, but it only works on a ploy. It doesn't work on a gambit spell. So if you cast a spell, I can't use Duel of Wits to draw cards. I was not impressed by their spells.
About second lightsaber?
Because their spells are easier. So this is the thing. Like, so Shadespire always had those dice roll cards. And the dice roll cards had reasonably strong effects. To some very powerful effects, but they were on 50% dice rolls. So even though like the effects were decent, you still didn't play them because it's fucking coin toss. Like you don't want to rely, you don't want your game to like end on coin tosses. So that was always a problem with those cards. Now the spells, they are much better odds than coin toss in most cases. Like some are even as good as like 85%, that's totally reasonable. Like 85% is something that I would play and not be like, oh no, it's never going to go off, you know? But the problem is their effects are very weak. They're not nearly, like, they're not
so
even half as good
so
as the coin toss.
So, like, you think,
cards.
Like, it's, like, going to be, like, chain, like, and really it's just, like, a static shock. Like,
yeah. Bzz, it's like, pew.
The guy's like, ow.
Because, like, so many, they're, like,
knock it off, Steve.
They're really marginal and, like, they're weird. Like, one of them is, like, one of their spells is you make a objective token come to life and it scatters and moves too. But, like, you could just play the ploy that just moves the objective one where you want, and it's guaranteed. Like I don't like them. I don't think they're good. There's one that's the Z. Like in total, we found one that like there's one Zinch spell that's really good, which is just -1 wound.
-1 wound.
I stick it on your guy. They have -1 wound forever. That's really good because it's no range. It's just. I can downtown anyone with it. That's a very strong spell.
Gonna take him downtown.
But it's only one. It's their only one spell that's decent. And then the other issue is they have some upgrades that make you more consistent with casting, but there aren't enough spells that matter. And then also they're do nothing upgrades unless you also have that spell. So it's a trap. Like you have. You know, like if you have 3 spells out of your deck of 20 and 2 of your upgrades are dedicated to help you cast those spells, you're spending a lot of resources to buff cards that you might not even see in the game.
Very true.
So that's my gripe with the spells. I think they're a little too weak.
But Steve, there's going to be 1,200 cards with inside the deck to pull.
Well, that's the thing too. Like there might event. Like it's not to say that spells will never be playable. I'm sure there will be some generic spells that end up being good.
Yeah, you still have what There's still four more warbands. Yeah.
So I'm sure there will end up being some really good generic spells, but for the most part, I didn't think the spells were anything to write home about. And then the spells that are really good are super hard to cast, and they're extremely unlikely to go off.
Can I bitch about something with Night Vault real quick?
Sure.
I know we're already on the complaining thing. Fuck these models and how they're put together.
You'll get caught up in the Night Vault.
Yeah. It's like, who designs models like this? This is ridiculous. There's no reason they should be that many pieces.
I haven't put them together.
Like that. It's like, you know what it's like to me? It's like when you see that those museum, like, optical illusions where if you look at it from one angle, you're like, it looks like a pile of garbage. And then you move to the center and it's like, oh my God, it's a picture of Picasso.
It's a mug.
It's like, oh, look at all, like, it's like all the guns are dangling from the ceiling. It's like that one. And then if you're like, you just see like a bunch of guns dangling from the ceiling. But when you turn it, like all of a sudden becomes like an AK-47 all the way across. You're it's crazy how that works.
I got a better song. You're in the Night Vault, baby. Dun, dun, dun. She said, dun, dun, dun. Huh? Dun, dun, dun. I like the Night Vault, baby. Yeah, that's good.
I always say, working on my Night Vault.
Oh, like Night Moves?
Like Night Moves.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Nightlife or Night Moves? Yeah. I think those are both pretty good.
Yeah.
Although nothing really matches the Shadespire Crossfire
Shadespire!
It's still really good.
I don't even know why. It's like Crossfire, Shadespire, they sound kind of similar.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. It's just similar sounding words.
Yeah.
Because
I'll be like sitting downstairs and I'll be painting my curse breakers and I'll be like, working on my Night Vault.
Working on those Shadespire model boys.
Who sings it? Like a Rock is the other one.
Like a Rock.
All of his
not Ted Nugent.
No, all of his songs are just metaphors for bowel movements.
The real question is why isn't it Michael McDonald?
Ain't no stopping. We're getting trick or treat season, so it's
true.
Trick or treats.
Oh, we're getting so much candy.
Your favorite internet video of all time.
I will be posting it on Hale. I on my Facebook. I always just post work related stuff. I don't really do personal things on Facebook. But I will post on Halloween the Michael McDonald tricking it to the treats.
Tricking it to the treats.
Yeah, that will happen.
But putting the models together, fucking terrible. Like you like look at it and you're like, how the hell does this go together? And then you're like, okay, these pieces seem like they go. You follow the instructions and you're like, this is garbage. So you put the two pieces together, like, oh, okay, these two pieces go together. And then you find like one piece that's like, this has to go in the middle of these two pieces, and you're like, God fucking damn it.
Perhaps you should follow the instructions.
And then you're like, oh, but they're easy to build. So you put it together, and then it's like, oh, but you don't notice this giant gap that they put right in the center of the fucking... I'm like, if they're putting together all these fucking pieces to make it easier and look better together, then why the hell are there still these giant fucking gaps? Hide the fucking gaps, please.
I agree.
It's fucking nonsense. Nonsense, Steve. The goblins are really bad for that. There's a couple, at least one piece gobos, but I'm like, why the hell does the fucking squig have so many fucking pieces? It's a squig. It's a ball with teeth. You don't need to have that many fucking pieces.
It's true. Two pieces kind of tops, really.
Yeah. But we don't know what's going to be released yet next for that.
I think the next wave is going to be the dwarves and the trolls. Yeah, the overlords and the trolls, I think, is next.
The trolls? Oh, the troll band.
Yeah, the troll band.
Get out of me, swamp.
It's me, swamp.
Oh, I want to paint him as Shrek.
Your objective deck is like an onion.
Except for the fact that the dark Oath are going to be like total Shrek-looking guys. I still think they look like Shrek. Steve bought the Fallout minigame. We could talk about that.
I did.
You got a lot of shit for it.
Yeah, I got everything.
Let's see. You have the Survivor's Core box. Ooh, look at these guys. They're very tall. They're minis.
They're 32 mil.
32. It's from Modiphius. Is that the people who had...
They're the people who make the Star Trek RPG.
Yeah, but did they have a... who's the company that did Warzone?
Modiphius was part of that.
Yeah,
there was Prodos, and there was...
Prodos.
Yeah, and there was Modiphius. There was more than one company involved in Warzone.
Yeah.
Modiphius, they're great. Their stuff is really top of the line. Their Star Trek role-playing game stuff is phenomenal. Their production values
Steve
are really good.
Steve bought a container of Nuka-Cola caps.
Yeah.
You couldn't just use, like, regular bottle caps?
I have a fuck ton of regular bottle caps, too.
I was gonna say.
But those are Nuka-Cola caps.
Yeah, you couldn't just get a sticker and just... Put it on the top?
No, because those are Nuka-Cola caps. And if not, and if I need more caps than that, I have a fuck ton of bottle caps that I save because I save bottle caps.
Yeah.
So I have a shit ton.
Yeah. The
so when the bombs drop, and Trump has decided it's time to nuke the planet, I'll be ready to spend money with my bottle caps. I'll be ready.
Spend the money on the bottle caps.
Yeah. I'll have my currency ready to go.
Yes.
Hopefully, I'll be a gross ghoul. I'd like to be a quest giver. That'd be my thing.
I would like to be a quest giver.
Yeah, that'd be my thing. Be like,
I'd really like you to go get me a Nuka-Cola smooth skin.
And then you give me the Nuka-Cola, which is the easy quest, and then that unlocks my quest line.
So after the bombs drop and I come over here to record Game Classy and you're just like smooth skin. I'm like, Steve, it's been like 30 minutes since the bombs dropped. So just ease up there, killer.
Yeah exactly.
When do we start panicking and flaying our neighbors?
I don't know. Do you believe it is time to now crack open our neighbor's skulls and feast on the goo inside? Yes.
Yes. For one, welcome our insect overlords. Oh, man. Have you seen the LimeWire memes?
I don't want a virus.
Simpsons shitposting is bizarre. Like, and what takes off and what does not.
I was actually disappointed because I didn't realize that shitposting just changed its name to board posting.
Yeah.
I was hoping that it was another huge group of Simpsons memers.
That's the big one. There's a bunch of other ones. I'm also a fan of Simpsons.
Uncle Mo's family feedback.
I'm a big fan of the radical leftist Simpsons memes, which is a funny group as opposed to the radical right Simpsons memes, which are just racist. Just racist. the left ones usually just involve Karl Marx or Lenin.
My favorite, I saw a pretty good thing. It was just like, I'm being censored for my conservative views. Oh, you mean like you want lower taxes? No, not that one. You want less government? No, not those either. Well, what views are you talking about? You know the ones. I see.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, your radical leftist views are just as bad as my radical rightist views. Like, That I want to abolish private property? Yeah, that's terrible in comparison to me. It's just as bad as mine. What's yours? Oh, yeah. All people of different color than me are terrible.
And should die.
Should die. Oh, no. Yeah. No, sir.
I don't think
it's on the same level.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. America's the only country I know of where, like, the populace, like, will willingly, like, stand for, like, millionaires and billionaires for some fucking reason that,
you know,
I don't understand.
I say eat the rich, man.
I say that no one deserves to be saved.
You're on a high protein diet. We just eat the rich. They're fat. They're very slow. They probably don't take very
good
care.
I'm all for eating the rich, Joe.
That's what I'm saying. We will just get the rich. We'll cut them up. I've taken butchery classes. I know how to. We'll make some nice cuts.
Oh, see, this will be perfect with my Fallout thing.
Exactly.
Nice.
We'll have the Eat the Rich Cafe.
That could be my quest line. You have to kidnap rich people and bring them to me.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Then I'm in the back just cutting them up. Like,
yeah.
I'm like Kramer when he's making the fucking
making the salad in his shower.
No. When he's got the meat slicer.
Oh yes.
Listening to the polka music.
Yes, or when he and Newman are making sausages.
Yeah,
in Jerry's apartment.
Yeah.
Why are you making sausages in my apartment? Because mine's full.
That's what it would be.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's good. I'm down.
All right. So what's this? This is some millionaire chorizo.
Delicious.
So yeah, speaking of fall,
this is my Elon Musk omelet.
I feel like a pedophile just eating this. So Modiphius, also, speaking of the war zone, they lost the license. We didn't get to talk about this because it happened right after the last podcast.
Yeah, Protoss was the one who had the main license.
Yeah.
And the company that owns Mutant Chronicles decided not to renew.
The same company that created Chronopia. And I'm like, I think it's Target Games.
Target Games, that's right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's under a different, I think it's under a different name at this point. Like the,
all right,
the,
we'll say Target Games.
Well, no,
Target
like
Game.
The umbrella company that owned Target Games and all the things. They decided, they're like, no, you can't do it anymore because we want to do something different with it.
Yeah, me.
Whatever.
I seem to remember playing the Mutant Chronicles card game and it being okay.
Mutant Chronicles board games were great.
I loved Siege of the Citadel. Was one of, like, I think the biggest thing that actually got me into real like miniatures gaming was actually Siege of the Citadel, because that was my first real experience with a very large number of models in a box game. Because I had HeroQuest, but HeroQuest isn't a ton of figures. I also had the I had Dragon Strike.
No, the best is Battlemasters, man.
I had Battlemasters as well.
Battlemasters was the fucking best game ever.
I wasn't talking about the quality of the game. I'm saying the game that really threw me into, like, because Battlemasters, I still treated Battlemasters as a board game. I never, like, went past the, I never tried to get into the hobby aspect, because Battlemasters showed you painted models, but it didn't have, like, any books inside that like encouraged you
to
do it. Siege of the Citadel did. It had paint guide. So like that, I was like, oh, I could paint these. I should paint these. And I started painting them. Of course, with just shitty ass testers acrylic paints just like right onto the model.
For Adepticon this year, you want to do a Battlemasters mega battle?
Yes, let's do it.
We gotta get the tables together with the big fucking plastic mat.
We have to get more than one plastic mat to make it a mega battle.
I have two.
Yes.
So, yeah, we get the towers right in the center.
Yes. I remember the cannon being pretty good.
I have the mighty cannon.
I remember the cannon being pretty good.
Well, yeah, because it would always go off, and you just put the fucking cards out.
Yeah.
And you'd flip it and see whether or not it bounced or flew
That's right.
Because if it bounced...
Wasn't the chaos thing led by an ogre?
Yeah, it was. Well, the ogre was, like, the big guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there were chaos warriors in the thing.
There was chaos warriors.
Because it's chaos, orcs, goblins, and ogres versus the Empire, right?
Yeah. Well, the Empire had Bretonian knights, Empire knights... There was the Imperial Knights, and then there was like other knights that were Bretonian. They had the cannon and archers and halberdiers, and then the Chaos had goblins, orcs, wolf riders.
I remember the
Chaos
wolf riders.
Knights and beastmen.
Yes.
Oh, and Chaos archers, which were the other thing, because they had mohawks.
Right. Yeah.
And the pictures of them had like the rainbow mohawks.
Yes.
Like so totally like
Battlemasters was fucking cool.
That was a fucking badass game.
Yeah.
That's I would say that was the thing that got me into mini gaming was
Battlemasters. Nice.
Which goes to show you why I own a fuck ton of minis. Because that was like people who get into it using a Quest or anything like that. We only need a small amount of figures. We don't need a ton of figures.
We only need a few.
Oh, Battlemasters is like, fucking all the figures.
You need 100 men.
You need 100 men in an army.
Yeah.
I love that fucking game. That fucking game is amazing. I have two sets of it at home. And I have Dragon Strike. Dragon Strike.
Did you watch the VHS?
Yes.
Prepared? How prepared? Are you brave? How brave? Are you ready
for
to face the night? The surprise of a Dragon Strike. His fucking turtleneck. You can only see his face. Oh, man. I love that. I would just watch that VHS over and over as a kid.
You know what I want to get? I keep on seeing it pop Dragon up Strike, every dude. Once in a while so at cool. like a half-price books or like just a used bookstore is the Star Trek Klingon game.
That game is awesome.
Yeah.
That game's really fun. I played it. It's fun as shit.
I want to kind of get that so I could play...
If you're into those VHS-style games, it's a great one.
Yeah.
And the production value is really good in the video.
Well, yeah, because it's... What is it? It's the guy
it
who
was
plays...
Paramount.
Yeah. Well, but it's the guy who plays... what's his face? Not Kurgan. The fucking Klingon. The high Klingon guy. The fucking crazy guy.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Duras.
Duras, yes.
Duras. House Duras.
Maybe no, I don't think it's Duras.
No,
because it was the Duras sisters were the ones who were trying to.
Well, there was more than one Duras because Duras
yeah,
is the
no,
one
Duras
that was who
was...
killed. That was who killed Alexander's mom.
Yeah,
Duras.
But I don't think.
And then Worf fucking killed his ass in single combat.
Yeah, and I don't think it wasn't him. It was the other guy that Worf tried to support, but he ended up going kind of crazy.
Oh right. Yes, I remember. I don't know now.
God damn it.
I know you're
it's like
about.
It's. I'm gonna think of it as soon as I get in my
I thought
car.
It was Duras.
No, Duras. Yeah. He had the sisters because after Worf killed him, the sisters were like a reoccurring bad guy.
Yeah, because they showed up in a bunch of shows.
Yeah,
they were always running around.
And they always had the big old cleavage hanging out.
Yes, they were hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were super hot.
I'm not saying that I'd have sex with a Klingon.
I would.
But I'm not saying I wouldn't have sex with a Klingon.
Well, first of all, a Klingon would have sex with you.
That's true.
That's first of all.
Yes.
And second, an emphatic yes from me, from this side of the table.
From this side of the table.
An emphatic yes. Also,
You might have to start small. Like you have to start like,
you know
with, like someone who's only like a quarter Klingon just to kind of get used to it and then
random,
work your way up.
random moment. I listened to a Star Trek podcast called M Class Podcast. They're really fun to listen to. And they were talking about something that I had actually forgotten, but they were talking about, because they do choice episodes, then they do kind of like themes.
Yeah.
But they were talking about the first episode of Voyager, and not necessarily the exact first episode, but they were talking about Neelix. And they were like, I had forgotten, because they rewrote Neelix's character so hard. But like, when Neelix is first introduced in Voyager, he's like a rogue.
He's kind of a skeezy guy.
Yeah, he's like roguish. Like, he's like almost like, I don't want to say like Han Solo, but he's like, you know, he's like almost like a schemer. Like,
yeah,
he's got
I always thought he was like Harry Mudd.
Right. He's got like shit going down. And they just abandoned that. Nah, they talked about that. They talked about how like all of the characters are like, and we've talked about it too. We're like, the characters are like all great concepts. Like, every one of those characters conceptually is great. Tom Paris being like, you know, he's like fighting against his dad. Like, he's got like a fucking huge like bunch of daddy issues, and like
he's an ex-convict.
Like, very interesting premise of a character. The whole like Maquis being on board, super interesting. You know, all of the characters are interesting, and they just like were like, oh, just
no. It's like, you're absolutely right. But the part of that thing is that in order for those characters to be, I realize this, is that in order for those characters to be interesting and maintain their interesting, you have to have shit transfer from one episode to the next,
right,
which they refuse to fucking do on that
syndication
show.
Yeah. The syndication refused to allow the like in the way those characters were set up to be interesting to play out. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
And like, they did a little bit, because they had the one the girl who was they thought she was Bajoran, but she was actually Romulan.
The
recurring villain. Like, she was interesting because her character got to progress past like a baseline. And they had like the one episode with that one dude who was a fucking serial killer. Like, that was an awesome fucking episode. And like, they had a serial killer on fucking Voyager. Like, dude was just a fucking serial killer. And like, it never mattered before, because he like they talk about like why it didn't matter in his Starfleet career, and then like suddenly it started to matter because of their situation. And I was like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, very cool stuff. But yeah, it was interesting to me. And I was just like, huh, they're right. Like, he was totally a different character. And then like, and then he's serving pancakes.
He becomes the Guy Fieri of fucking Star Trek Voyager.
That's right. with the space dildo.
Neelix Fieri.
And technically all dildos are space dildos.
Yes, because we all are technically in space.
Yeah, we're technically all in space.
Yes. They could be terrestrial dildos.
It's true. I just watched Event Horizon again. I love that movie.
Event Horizon!
I love that movie. That movie is so fucking 90s. It's insane.
It's a great, it's a great Warhammer 40K movie. Everyone says that. Like, it is, it's like a 40K movie that's not a 40K movie.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can see that.
Because the Event Horizon travels through fucking the warp.
Yeah, it travels through the warp and it comes back alive.
And everyone is
warp touched.
Yeah, they go through the warp and everyone, there's fucking demons everywhere, and people are getting sodomized and their eyes pulled out, and Sutter Kane shows up. And
that's right.
And
there's Sutter Kane.
Sutter Kane's there. And
that was during Sam Neill's Lovecraftian phase of the 90s.
Yeah. Event Horizon's an amazing movie.
I love that movie. Yeah. It was super good. And then the best is the end, which is fucking Prodigy funky shit. Oh my god, that's the funky shit. I was like, holy fuck, dude, this movie's 90s. And then I totally forgot, because it had been so long since I watched it, but the opening scrawl is like, the year 2015, the first moon colony is established.
Does it say that, really?
The very first line is, in the year 2015, the first moon colony is established. And then warp, the Event Horizon is made in like 2038, and then the Event Horizon came back in like 2040.
In 2015, the first moon colony is established. In 2016, a gorilla is shot, which leads downhill to civilization.
Harambe.
Dicks out for Harambe, Steve.
That's right.
Remember that?
I do.
Remember Kony 2012?
I do remember Kony 2012. And then that dude was fucking caught fapping in like the middle of a fucking street.
Yeah, I feel bad for that guy.
I don't.
I do.
I don't feel bad for anyone.
You don't feel bad for anybody, but.
Kein Mehrheit for the Mitleid.
Yeah, the Event Horizon is a great people will put those lists of like, what are great non 40K movies?
Event Horizon,
sure. Starship Troopers, which doesn't really count because
Starship Troopers, 40K is Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers, yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, like, because the movie is so different than the books that it's like
it is. It's really very much like Guards versus Tyranid.
Yeah,
because the books, like, the Starship Troopers are awesome.
Yeah, Starship Troopers are Space Marines.
Yeah, they're badass. Yeah. They're in fucking giant robot suits, but also the bugs are giant.
Yeah,
because the Starship Trooper suits are big mecha.
Yeah, they're Space Marines more than anything. They're not like big mecha. They're just giant fucking suits of armor like Space Marines.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, for sure.
And the movie is just, you know, Guards versus Tyranid.
It's Guards versus Tyranid. Yeah.
Would you like to know more, Steve?
Would you like to know more? And of course, yes, it's got that amazing Paul Verhoeven self-awareness.
Yeah, and you have fucking Psykers and you have everything else. It's fucking great.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
RoboCop. I love RoboCop.
It's all fascist and it's
That's right. It's true.
It's pretty much 40. And I know you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen Solo yet, right?
I've not seen Solo.
No. There's the opening kind of like when he's in the Empire, when he's serving the Empire, he's it's very guard-like, the way that the battle takes place.
I would be so bold as to say that Alien Resurrection is a 40K movie because of the crew, Ron Perlman crew. They're like a rogue trader crew.
Kind of, they're a little bit like rogue traders.
I think it's like a rogue trailer crew, like encountering some gene stealers.
Okay. Gene stealers.
Gene stealers.
Yeah.
That'd be I mean, there's the hybrid at the end.
Oh, God, I wish that they could do a 40K. They can't do a 40K movie. It would be so, like, you could never make a movie that's as grimdark as it needs to be a 40K movie.
They could easily make a 40K movie as long as they didn't say anything about it being a Warhammer 40,000 movie. Like, if they made a movie, like, and they couldn't use a super recognizable character, but, like, if they just made a space movie called, like, you know, like, I don't know, fucking Maverick or something, and it's like, it's a fucking, like, it's a dude with a bolt pistol, right? And, like, you see he's got a fucking bolt pistol, and you just make it a fucking space adventure about a rogue trader or whatever, and just have it set in the 40K world, but don't establish it as Warhammer 40,000, the film. Like,
in the Empire of Man, 40,000 years in the future.
Right. You could very easily.
Actually, you could probably start that off with a crawl.
You could do. Yeah, you could start it. You'd start it with a crawl. You'd be like, in the year, like, you know, in the year 40,300, warp travel has been discovered, or whatever. Oh, yeah. And just do a fucking sci-fi movie that happens to be in the 40K universe. Because then, because the thing is, you want to set the expectations. So if your movie is not named Warhammer 40,000 the movie, like, you immediately can, like, smash the people, like, I want to see Space Marines fight orcs.
It'll be the people who go, like, I want to see Big Titty Tau.
Yeah, I mean, well, Big Titty Tau is fine too. Yeah. But that's you
know, if it, like, Hollywood made that movie, it would be like a fucking ultramarine falling in love with a fucking Eldar girl.
Oh, dude, it would be the worst.
It would be so
bad. That's why they got to give it to the guy who directed Dread.
Yeah.
And just let that guy fucking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like Hollywood would never make a grimdark movie,
But it could be made. It could,
like,
be done.
You'd have to do that, like,
and it wouldn't even need to be high budget. And that's the other key about making sure that it's a, like, a rogue trader style film, because you can seriously reduce the budget costs if there's no big battles. If it's just, you know, like, in ship corridors, there's a bunch of ship corridor sets available.
You make a fucking fucking Space Hulk movie.
Yeah, you could make a Space Hulk movie. Sure, you can do that.
And everyone would be like, this is just aliens.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, that's Space Hulk. Yes, Space Hulk's literally aliens.
They should make a Gorka Morka movie with fucking orcs driving cars around.
I would watch that.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Or hit the pedal to the metal.
You know what that would be great for? That would be a great Saturday morning cartoon. Gorka Morka, where it's just about a bunch of fucking orcs driving around in their crazy ass cars.
It's like, so it's basically Wacky Races.
It's like Wacky Races,
but it's orcs.
Yeah, but it's orcs and, like, muties.
And occasionally there's, like, a Space Marine.
Yeah, like, there'll be, like, you know, like, some, but it's just, like, the orcs that are driving around, and it's like, humans are like, hey, we need this done. They're like, we need some teeth.
Yeah, you want us to get that thing for you? You gotta give us the teeth.
You gotta give us the teeth. We need more DACA. So give us some teeth.
Wise eye walking.
And you can have, like, it would just be about, like, four orc brothers. Like, let's just call them brothers because it's a Saturday morning cartoon show. And one would be a weird boy. One would be
a mech boy.
One would be like
a flash git
and a knob. Like, and then there'd be a little goblin sidekick.
Yeah, a Gretchen.
Yeah, a girl Gretchen sidekick.
Yeah.
And it would be them just driving around fucking Gorka Morka, doing their thing.
Yeah, doing quests.
Yeah, doing quests. Like, every episode they come across something, like, some weird, like, oh, me tire blew out. We gotta figure out how to do this.
Yeah. Keep your foot off that blasted summer flange.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, oh no, the way to get a good tire is because the fucking the red gabbo is out there, and we gotta get the tire from the red gabbo.
And you could have a rival, like, drag racing band of Gretchen, just like 20 Gretchen on a fucking drag racer.
Exactly.
We can't let those grots show us up.
Yeah, I think this would be a perfect, like, 80s character.
Get the truck moving.
Yeah. And some great, like, 80s theme song, like, Gorka Morka!
No, it would have to, I think it would go like full like synth, like on the planet Armageddon, orcs are driving, ready to go. Oh, something like that.
Well, it would be like red makes it faster. Yeah, stuff like that. I think we can do that.
Yeah.
We should make this.
Yeah, sure. Let's just animate it ourselves.
Just animate it ourselves.
No problem.
I just, like, you know, we could have, like, the orcs just believe that they don't need wheels to make their car go, so they just believe it, so it'll happen.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. Like,
oh, no, I think it'd be better. They believe that something will work as a wheel. Something that shouldn't work as a wheel. They just, like, plug it in.
What we got here? We got a mutey. We're going to use this mutey as a wheel. It's like, it's a guy tied around.
He's just holding onto the axle.
Woo!
Spinning around. Like a classic cartoon sound effect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, that wouldn't be a good. That would be like a.
And then one of the orcs has to eat hamburgers. Like, giant, oversized hamburgers.
He's just hungry. But no, but they wouldn't call them hamburgers. They would call them, like, something like mutey burgers.
Squig burgers.
A squig burger.
Yeah.
Oh my god. They're right there.
Squig burgers. And they're just gigantic, oversized, and his mouth opens up to fit the burger.
Yeah, he's just always hungry. That's his thing. He's the mech boy, and he's Ungry. Always hungry.
His orc name is Ungry. Yeah.
Oi, that's just Ungry. He's got himself another squig burger.
I'd do it for a squig burger, I would.
Exactly.
Like, you want me to fix this axle? You get me a squig burger.
Yeah, and they all have the same voice.
They all have the same voice
because all orcs have the same voice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Moss, what are we gonna do?
Quiet. I'm trying to think.
They think they're right clever, don't they?
I hope our British listeners appreciate our Cockney accents. That
I
we're
mean,
doing.
Hopefully our orcs are okay.
I think so.
I don't think see, that's the thing. I can't really do a reasonably good British accent, but I think my orc is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think your orc is very passable. I think it's better than passable in most cases.
I think my orc is pretty good, but I can't do like an actual like I couldn't fake being a British person, but I could be an orc.
Well, and that's the thing too is like I think with if they did like a 40K movie quotation marks, like you could do it with Nids. I think Nids is kind of very easy to do though. I think
I'll do Necrons.
You would do Necrons?
I would do the Rogue Trader and do kind of like Pitch Black style. You do your Rogue Trader. You have some spaceship scenes like and like a big city. He goes off to do a thing. He encounters mechanical trouble and he crashes on a crypt world and he goes through a crypt and fights Necrons.
Interesting.
With his little crew, they fight Necrons.
I would do Guard versus Orcs because I think that's different than most movies out there.
But that comes into higher budget.
Yeah, it would be higher budget.
Yeah,
for
I'm saying
sure.
for my low budget quasi indie production, it would be like in the fucking catacombs fighting Necrons.
If I wanted to make it perfect, but it would get so not done because it would be considered super racist. I would do Battle of Rorke's Drift with like the movie Zulu, like how they used to do the mega battle with the orcs versus the guard.
Yes,
I would do that.
The Praetorian Guard,
and then people would be like, wait a second, why did you make all the Zulu warriors into these big orcs? That's racist, sir. I'm like, no, they did it in the magazine. I swear I'm not being
racist.
They did
it in the magazine.
I swear I'm not being racist.
I love it. No, they did it in this book I read. It's by some guy. His name's Adolf. It's something about a struggle. I don't know.
Or how about this? How about Robot Jocks? But with Night Titans.
Nice. I would watch that.
Night Titans versus like mech.
But it already exists and is Robot Jocks. Like, how are you going to top Robot Jocks?
Anyway, because
that's Robot Jocks, J-O-X.
Robot Jocks was the biggest cock tease on the planet. You're like, oh, this movie's going to be amazing. And it was the worst fucking movie ever.
I loved Robot Jocks when I was a kid. But I saw that movie when it was brand new, which I think was like 94.
It wasn't even that late. It was earlier than that. But it was so terrible, though.
I don't know. I was a kid, dude. Fucking kids are idiots.
I know, but you got to see like the robots fighting like for 2 seconds.
But see, that's all I remembered.
Yeah.
Like, all I remember is the fact that I saw robots
fighting. I
remember
the green laser. Because that was like the big deal. Yeah. Like, he had a green laser.
And then the sequel had a scorpion.
That wasn't even a sequel. It was like some made-for-TV movie.
It was garbage.
It was
called Robot Jocks 2, but it wasn't Robot Jocks.
I don't think it was called Robot Jocks.
There is a Robot Jocks 2. Yep. It's a completely different movie.
Yeah, it's a completely different movie.
But it's just, I think it's like Troll 2. They just slapped the title on it.
So Robot Jocks came out in 1989. Robot Wars came out in 1993. It was the one with the giant scorpion.
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't think that they're related.
Robot Wars, Robot Jocks 2?
It's not called Robot Jocks 2.
I'm telling you, there's a Robot Jocks sequel.
This is the one with the giant robot scorpion. It is not called Robot Jocks 2.
Huh. Weird.
I could be wrong because I'm just looking at IMDb. But anyway, but yes, you could do like robot jocks with the Night Titan versus like orc mechs. Like, I think that would be pretty fucking cool. Just like have it be just like this guy, he's just going along in the battlefield, like them piloting this, this one guy piloting his mech. Or
I
like,
think it's more of a short film than a movie, though.
Eh, either way. I mean, that would be the coolest idea would be to do like
an anthology film.
No, just a war film, a movie about like some battle where it's just different aspects of it. Like we're going to spend some time with the guard fighting these.
OK,
the
I mean,
orcs.
That's kind of an anthology movie. It's just one battle, but parts of the same battle.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. So you're like, we're going to spend this section with the guard. We're going to spend this section with the Night Titan. We're going to spend this section with a fucking Space Marines.
I got you. I got it. Same concept. It's about one specific big battle. Paul Verhoeven directs Imperial propaganda film about a war.
Okay.
Done from the perspective as if you were an Imperial citizen watching the film.
Okay. I would dig that.
So it's like the Imperial Guardsmen, the unstoppable hand of the Emperor. you have like the Guardsmen like they're ready to get them, boys.
The Cadian 51st.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here to help.
Yeah, it's like, look at how scrawny and weak the orcs are. And it's an orc just like tearing a dude in half.
But there are boys are going at him, and there's a commissar like pointing a gun at the guys that go over the top.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you have
Paul Verhoeven direct it.
Can I get David Lynch to direct it?
You can have Paul Verhoeven and David Lynch co-direct it.
Oh, okay. Because what I would... Okay, so can I... Since it's an anthology film, can I get like Verhoeven, Lynch, Jodorowsky... that guy who just directed Mandy.
And then there's definitely got to be a part with Cronenberg.
Oh, Cronenberg.
There's got to be a Cronenberg part in The Warp.
Oh.
Yeah. We got to get Cronenberg in there.
I like this idea. Yeah. Can we crowdfund this?
Maybe. let's get to talking.
All right. So in my section of the film.
I just want to talk to David Lynch.
Exactly.
I don't know. We could do a thing.
I'm going to make the commissar a tree.
I can hear you perfectly. I fucking love Twin Peaks. I just finished that. I got to watch the new episodes now.
The third season? Oh, yeah. Third season is...
Oh, and I have to watch Fire Walk With Me.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have to watch the third season.
Fire Walk With Me is great, except for all of the rape stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got off track here. I'm thinking about 40K, the movie.
I'm thinking about RoboCop.
Robot Jacks.
And Robot Jacks. I remember so much more robot fighting in that film. I must have made that movie.
There's only like two minutes of it.
I guarantee I made that movie way fucking cooler in my head as a kid. So I'm never going to watch it again because I'm just going to pretend that it's the movie I
remember. I wouldn't do it because it really truly is a horrendous movie.
I'm just going to remember the movie that I remember. The only movie that kind of held up in a totally weird and bizarre way was Buckaroo Banzai. Like, Buckaroo Banzai turned into a... It was because the faulty memory of watching that movie was amazing. Because like when I rewatched it, it was just like I thought I remembered that movie. I didn't remember that movie for shit.
No, that movie doesn't make any sense.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I love Buckaroo Banzai. I love the concepts of Buckaroo Banzai. I love the world building to do. The movie just. It's just not a good movie.
I love it.
They should have put it in the hands of a more capable director. I think it would have been much better.
I think that was a very hard film to direct.
Well, true, but it's the guy who wrote it. So I think if they gave it to like a competent director who would have been like, wait a second, we can't do this because this doesn't make sense.
Plus, I mean, apparently that film coined the phrase "wherever you go, there you are."
Also coined Jeff Goldblum wearing a cowboy outfit.
Hell, fucking yes. It did.
Speaking of 40K, which we were
Super Cowboy Doctor.
They released the FAQ for the big FAQ like 2 months before they released
they did a little bit of kneecapping to Book Soup, if I remember correctly.
Not totally, a little bit. There's still gonna be soup because codexes are relatively useless individually. Which I don't mind. I think that's fine, except for the fact that they focus so much on Imperium that Imperium soup armies are just too strong. Like, you can't have a... it's like Imperium, Eldar,
Well, I mean, when you have every possible release, like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you have, because Imperium can play every style of army. They can play, like, the hyper elite, like, small Titan army. You could play a Horde army with Guard. You know, they can do everything.
Yeah.
So, like, when your faction can do everything. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I'm interested in seeing is how, because I haven't really followed up on it, is how the elimination of the soup. How the elimination of the soup. You can still, so with soup, with the way they fixed it is I think it's that you could only use command points for your specific, for that army. So if you're, so if the Titan generates a command point, you could only use the command point for the Titan command. So I think that that's kind of what they did there.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a good change.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's decent, but it's, I don't think it's gone far enough to fix a lot of the problems. Supposedly, they're fixing.
I mean, you're never going to make it perfect, but, like, you want to have it at least be, like, not busted in half.
Yeah. So they're going to fix the I think it's what's really going to fix it is the point costs are going to get. There's going to be a huge point cost fix
for
in
their,
the
for their General's
compendium.
Yeah.
2019, would it be this time?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, interesting to see what's going to be happening in the General's compendium for AOS this year. Like, because I have no idea where they would even go with
probably
it.
A lot of, it's probably it'll just be points adjustments and then maybe some new allegiances for armies that don't have any.
It could be. So could very well
that,
be.
That's, I think that's likely what, that's likely all it'll be. Because, like, this, like, they didn't, there wasn't too much of a shakeup for the first, like, the first one was a big shakeup and then the next one was not too huge. So I'd imagine this is going to be the same. Because, like, they had the second ed, like, AOS second ed is, like, a big, the big shakeup. This one will just be, like, you know, kind of tweaking. The only problem with AOS 2 right now is Nagash, and, like, the only way to really fix Nagash is to just not allow realm spells, because the thing that makes Nagash busted is giving him fucking 20 spells. Like,
yeah,
it's not fair. Like, it is absolutely completely unfair, and it's very unfun. Like, it's a very negative play experience.
I mean, yeah, you look at, like, the top lists of every tournament since V2, you have Nagash is at least in the top 10?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be there. That's the thing. He's going to be there anyway because the list is already super strong. But when you give them all of the realm spells on top of the fact that he already has good spells, like, it's pretty ridiculous. Like, you need to,
and your core units are super cheap too.
Yeah. Well, you need to play against, you need to, like, it's so meta warping too. Like, I think if you're not, like we were talking about, like, the one list he was playing with four Lords of Change or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you, that sounds ridiculous, but, like, you have to, if you want to cast spells with Lords of Change, if you play against Nagash, yeah, four Lords of Change might not even be enough.
Yeah.
Like, that might not be enough to get through Nagash, because he can dispel eight spells with, like, +5. Like, yeah. That's fucking ridiculously stupid.
I was watching, Steve's talking about, I was watching the Warhammer TV, they stream, like, grand tournaments, and there was a guy named Nigel playing Four Lords of Change. I'm like, oh, you can't get more British than that.
He was really chuffed to
playing
those Four Lords of Change.
Guys, listen, chuffed is the worst British slang.
I'm gonna start using chuffed.
Ever happened. Ever, the worst thing that ever happened to the British language was the word chuffed.
But how else could you be a chuffed up bloke?
And how else could you express that you're excited about something other than using the word excited or happy with?
I'm chuffed about it.
That's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. God, I'm glad that we separated from that as a nation.
I'm quite chuffed about this Fire Slayer.
He's brown. He looks poo brown. It's poo brown Fire Slayer.
Yeah, that's why I'm chuffed.
Remember
about
when
him.
My Fire Slayer got bought out by that... that orc, the terribly painted orc.
Was it the orc that won? I thought it was Magor that won.
No, it was the orc that won. It was that terribly painted orc.
Magor should have won.
No. My dwarf should have won. It was the better painted out of all that.
Nah.
And that terrible painted orc, and I'm just like, what? All right, this is just the disillusion you with this hobby altogether. I'm going to go take up RC cars or something, something like that. I'm going to do model trains. Diane, I'm taking over the basement. We're going to make model trains.
Model trains is somehow more expensive than Warhammer.
Oh, God, yeah. They're super expensive.
It's crazy.
I don't understand. How are they so expensive?
I don't know.
And the people don't even paint them themselves. They're all pre-painted by, like, Chinese slave workers.
I don't fucking know, man.
I don't fucking know.
Why are you asking me?
The Lino Corporation is employing slaves to make the trains, Steve.
You should break the story. Break it on Vice or whatever.
No, actually, I do know why they're so expensive. Is that Lino and all
a lot
those,
of copper electronic components?
Well, no, because all those companies, when they make a train like a car, it's only for a limited time. So they make, like, let's say that's a passenger car from a 1938 Silver Streamer, whatever, I'm just making that up, that they would take that, and they only make that specific model for, like, an extended, like, a two-year period, and then that's gone.
Mm.
So, like, those cars...
The collectibility is what you're saying?
So then the cars...
highly collectible?
The cars become collectible after a certain amount of time, and then you have to go, like, if you want to go back and get those, they're, like, you have to pay out the ass for them.
So it's highly collectible.
It's highly collectible. So when you want to get your Lord of the Rings train cars, highly collectible. Do we have anything else that we want to bring up? I know it's been a while since we talked, but I'm trying to think of, like... Oh, yeah. So the what I wanted to... Going way, way back with Protoss losing the Warzone, something that we learned was that their Target... The Target Games or whatever their umbrella company is, not Alderaan, that's L5R.
Yeah, or was L5R.
Owns the copyright to Conan.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
It's like, how fucking weird is that?
Yeah.
That they own Conan, except for, like, half of the stories.
Yeah, there's, like, a weird amount that's in public domain and then not.
Yeah, like, so half of it is...
It's a very split-up property, which is odd.
Because I guess half of it was done before... Was in public domain before the Sonny Bono laws or Disney laws or whatever.
Disney laws.
Which is bullshit, which we gotta figure out how to fix that.
Well, I mean, if you can figure out how to take out the five corporations that run the planet, by all means, go ahead.
Eating the rich, Steve.
Yeah.
We just start eating the rich, and
the problem with eating the rich and the plan of eating the rich is they have money, so they can pay people to stop you from eating them.
We eat the people who are being paid. So then the people are like, wait a second, I don't want to get eaten, so I'm not going to protect this guy no matter how much money he's going to give me.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Or we could just convince them that they can just eat them and take the money.
See, that's even better.
Yeah, see?
We got to figure out how to get Conan back in the public domain, because this isn't fair. As I said, well, if I had fuck you money, if I won that $1 billion...
The Mega Millions?
The Mega Millions. Did you buy a ticket, by the way?
No.
I bought a ticket.
I don't want to win $1 billion.
Oh, I would win $1 billion in a heartbeat. You know what I would do with that $1 billion?
Probably end up like every other giant lottery winner and be dead within a few years.
Exactly. Two things, Steve. If I won $1 billion, one, I'd buy the Conan leg. I'd buy Conan back, and I would just sell anybody who wants to use it $1. That's all it's going to cost you.
You know what you should do? Don't do that. Buy Conan and make it public domain forever.
No. Because I want to make sure at least that it's like I want people to produce Conan stuff, but I want to give it a little bit of like. Some legitimacy to it. Like, I want to at least
have... You think the dollar is going to make all the difference?
Well, it's you come in with your dollar, but you got to sell the idea to me.
I see.
Yeah, it's like don't come in. It's like, I want to set Conan in the future with blah, blah. I'm like, no. We're not going to do that here.
If I somehow won...
Wait, I got to go my second one. Oh. My second thing, giant pile of cocaine. Tony Montana pile of cocaine.
I was just about to say, if I won $1 billion, I would also have, like, the, like, giant... I would buy a gigantic plot of land... Build a gigantic strip club, hire a bunch of strippers, and then just overdose on cocaine in the strip club that I built in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by the strippers that I've paid to be there.
I don't even think I would do cocaine. I wouldn't do the cocaine. I would just have the pile of cocaine.
Just to have it?
Just to have it.
And invite people and be like, help yourself to some cocaine.
Cocaine. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, welcome to my house. Feel free to use some cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah. The drink bar is over there. The giant pile of cocaine is there. Help yourself.
Yeah. And I would have the world's longest.
The giant pinky nail?
Pinky nail. But it would be the world's longest pinky nail. So that
would be pretty long. It's going to have to curl around.
Yeah, maybe not that long. Yeah.
I mean, longest functional crack nail.
Coke nail.
The longest functional coke nail.
Do crack with a coke with your nail?
No, why not?
That's physically impossible.
Why not? Figure it out.
Yeah. So it's like I wouldn't even do the drugs. I would just have it there just to show people
cocaine. Help yourself.
That I have this cocaine. But yeah, that was the two things. If I won $1 billion, one, Conan; two, cocaine.
And while I was doing the giant pile of cocaine to die, I would be blasting "Kickstart Your Heart."
Mine would be Sister Christian, because I have a thing for Boogie Nights.
But that's too slow. I mean, it's a fantastic jam.
What's your price for flight?
Don't get me wrong. It's a great jam. But it's not a snorting a giant pile of cocaine until you die jam.
Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Yeah. That's like a heroin jam.
But there's cocaine in the movie.
I know there's cocaine in the movie, but I'm saying that in terms of drug jams to die to, Sister Christian fits a heroin overdose. Kickstart My Heart fits a coke overdose.
Okay. I mean, at least title-wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of... And also, I would buy Games Workshop because, like...
Just because?
Did you see the news that they're like, look, Brexit's going to fuck us up. So just be wary that our stock will drop because of Brexit. So, yeah. I guess so keep your eye out if you want to buy some cheap Games Workshop stock, which I might do.
Yeah. then you could walk into a Games Workshop store and be like, hey, I own some stock, so I'm kind of like your boss.
Give me these figures.
Give me these figures. I am a stockholder.
I am a stockholder. I drive a 2013 Toyota Mazda Prius. I am a stockholder.
I am a stockholder. You see that Prius?
Give me some Warhammer Nightvault. Warhammer Underworld
Nightvault.
Get
me a goblin.
I was
one goblin.
The 500th store opened up in Beijing or wherever.
Hong Kong, which is pretty fucking cool.
It's a little on the cyberpunk side.
Yeah. Hong Kong is very cyberpunk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a little
Hong Kong's like it's like a sovereign state like inside China sort of. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like
what you
it's not, but it is.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those things where like China's like no. Hong Kong's clearly part of China, but like the reality of the world is Hong Kong is its own fucking universe. Like it exists in its own reality separate from the rest of the world. That's Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a very cool thing. Hong Kong's apparently amazing.
Yeah.
I have a friend who went to Hong Kong and then went back to Hong Kong and then moved to Hong Kong. So yeah, he's like Hong Kong is the greatest.
Just
place
loves
in the,
noodles.
He's like Hong Kong is the greatest place in the
loves
world.
Loves rice and noodles.
He's my Hong Kong connoisseur. So yeah. But yeah, it's like its own little pocket dimension, and it's very cyberpunk.
So they opened up their 500 store there, and they released two models in celebration, a Primaris model because
I don't know.
And they did a Nighthaunt model.
Yeah, the ghost is fucking red.
Yeah, it's $35 though.
It's still red.
Yeah.
But like the this is the thing I don't get. Like doing a Space Marine isn't like, oh, that's stupid, like just conceptually. But it's just a fucking dude holding a helmet. Like there is nothing, like the fucking ghost is in this like amazing pose. He's like going through a gravestone. There's like, you know, he's like passing through, like his like base is fucking badass. And it's like, wow, that model's really fucking cool. And the other was like, it's a Space Marine.
I got a gun and a helmet.
He's holding his gun in one hand and the helmet
in
the other.
I'm a lieutenant.
Yeah, it's just so weird. It's like, why is he not like doing something cool?
That's Lieutenant Dan. He ain't got no legs.
It's just weird. It's just such an odd, like, you look at one and the other and just like, how are these both like made for the same event?
And it's $35 for that one guy.
The Space Marine.
No, for both of them. $35 a piece. I'm like,
but I could see the $35 for the ghost because he's really fucking cool, and you'd only ever want one. The other one just looks like a Space Marine.
Yeah,
there's nothing about him that's like special.
But they're all of the individual models are like $35 at this point.
Even if he was in like a cool pose or like on something, like if he was on like a broken ass rhino door, or like just fucking something, not just a Marine standing there holding his helmet, which like a million Marine models have done before.
I am so used to at this point buying used models and like secondhand and bootleg and everything else that I look at regular prices for miniatures. I'm like, how do people fucking play this game?
I mean, to be fair, $35 is the price of an entire Shadespire Warband.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, that's the only game that I legit buy new anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's a good price.
Yeah,
it's a good price. It's reasonable.
I think it's perfectly reasonable, and at least it's spread out enough that it's like you don't feel like bad dropping 70 bones every couple months when you got to buy the new warbands. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of just wish I could buy the card separately. It's a little bit better, but at least buying the card, like paying the $30, you get the cards and some models.
Yeah, the models are cool. Like,
and the models are all great.
Yeah, the models are all cool. So it's like, it's okay. I mean, I still haven't painted all the Shadespire shit. But my issue is like, I have like serious reservations about like spending time and painting models that I know I'm never gonna use.
Yeah.
It's like I'm painting the skeletons and I'm like, these guys suck.
Well, they're amazing models.
The models are so good, but they're terrible in the game.
Yeah. I finished.
It's like the dwarves. It's like the dwarves are not very good in the game. So it's like
So Dwayne and I had a challenge, a Night Vault challenge, which was, we're going to buy the thing and then we're going to give ourselves a month to paint all the figures and get it done. I just finished my last one for the Curse Breakers, so I'm done. I'm 100% painted on Night Vault. But now I gotta get in Zarbags and the Eyes of Nine, because my goal is to paint all of the warbands for Night Vault.
As they come out.
So that's going to be my plan. I got in Zarbags, is all primed up, ready to go. I have my 3D printed Reaver Titan that I have to paint as well. So,
another one?
I just did the one Reaver. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I paid a Russian guy to get me the STL so I could print it out. Yeah, but I mean, it's real nice. It's really nice STL. So
that's funny.
All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Commandthrow.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is to like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. We don't ask for much. Just don't call me a flaming trash bag, maybe. I don't know. You can. Just give me the 4 stars. I really don't care what you call me as long as you give us the 4 stars in there. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube. People like YouTube for some odd reason. I don't know. YouTube went down, Steve. Were you affected by the great YouTube outage of 2018?
I noticed it.
Did you?
I was like, huh, YouTube's not going down. All right, well, I'll just pop up Netflix.
Yeah. I'll pop in any of the other millions of things.
Yeah, that was my like extent, because we were in the middle of watching a video. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, all right, well, we'll just watch Netflix.
To me, the only thing that makes YouTube worthwhile is like how-to videos.
How-to videos are really good on there.
There's the only thing to really that makes YouTube worthwhile.
What about the memes? Johnny, Johnny, yes, Papa.
What about Baby Shark? No, Baby Shark?
I haven't seen Baby Shark.
Oh, Baby Shark is big. Baby Shark is big in the toddler household right now.
I see.
The Johnny Johnny thing's over. Everyone's done with the Johnny Johnny.
Yeah. I mean, it's the meme life cycle. It's got like a week at most.
Yeah. You can listen to our other podcast, which is Deconstructing Daycare, which is all about kitty cartoons, and Play On Podcast, which is all about video games. Steve, what video games do you guys talk about now?
Mm.
Anything big video game wise?
Call of Duty?
Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
No.
No, none of that stuff. I saw a great meme about Assassin's Creed the other day. It was like a person complaining, like, it's like, Assassin's Creed games are all the same. They suck. And then the next panel was like, this Assassin's Creed game is different. It sucks.
The thing I've seen most about Assassin's Creed Odyssey is climbing around on that giant dick. The statue's giant dick.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I would like Assassin's Creed's Odyssey if it was exactly like Black Flag, where you're just on a fucking Greek ship, and you're just like fucking ramming.
Well,
I
heard it's really cool. There's like the Nemean lion and shit.
Yeah,
like, which is rad.
It's incredibly
and I heard the combat's good. So because I did not like the combat in Origins. Like I was fucking dying like trying to play game.
The Egyptian one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was super stoked to play that game, but like the combat was just like I was like,
Well, those games aren't really known for their combat.
Oh, this one's supposedly much better. So we'll see.
I go back and play Black Flag every once in a while. Just like the yo ho 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 pirates. Just do sea shanties and blow up other ships.
It's a pirate simulator.
Yeah, I mean that's an amazing pirate simulator. All right. So Steve, until next time,
build your warband, construct your deck, defeat your rivals.
Game Classy.